Chaz and AJ in the morning, 99.1 PLR, 95.9 The Fox. Governor Lamont, welcome to the show.
Hey, Chaz. Good morning. Hey, AJ.
Yo.
Good morning.
Good morning.
What was your reaction to the George Floyd video?
It seemed shocking to me that not just that it happened, but that police officers, at least one I saw in particular, stand there and watching that people, more people didn't stand up and say no. And I know for most of our folks here in the state of Connecticut and beyond, what happened, they know, is not an isolated incident, that these things happen and that they're indicative of something else. And that's why we work so closely with our police, our amazing police, overwhelmingly, and working more closely with the communities to make sure that there's a mutual understanding of how we operate and what we do and how we do it. I think it's worked well with the protests, by the way, Daz. I mean, there are police that work very closely with the protests as well, you know, often in sympathy with the goals of the protesters, but making sure that public safety is also paramount.
When the protests started turning violent in big cities, were you concerned for Connecticut?
I was. I mean, you saw Brooklyn and you saw Providence right across the border. But again, I think that we reached out. Our state police, municipal police, worked very closely with the community, very closely with the protest organizers, and made sure we could do it safely. And I don't think there's been an arrest in over a week. You know, very early on, there were a few protesters, shutting down I-84, and I think they almost wanted to get arrested.
Were we ready for an eruption and violence, and how would we have handled it?
Oh, we were ready, but I thought the idea of militarizing the situation is something that, the White House alluded to, was the exact wrong way to go. Even telegraphing that was a possibility was wrong. What our state police took the lead on was reaching out to the community so we could work it through together.
I was worried for Elliker. Did you see what was happening outside of Mayor Elliker's house and then at the New Haven Police Department?
Yeah, that got rowdy. And, leave people's homes out of it.
Yeah, I agree.
Families, yeah.
You want to have a peaceful protest at the police department, go for it.
Yeah. So now, Governor, is the conversation about race or policing or both?
Well, look, it's both. I mean, we've called the legislature back into session. We're working right now in terms of, strengthening public safety and police accountability protocols. I, for one, I think with the body cams, there was some reluctance early on, but I've been fine talking to the security guys that I talk to all the time. They say, look, we're proud of the work that we do, and we're happy to have a body cam there to reinforce it.
Now, the conversation, when something like this happens, always comes down to the police. Do you think that we all take some responsibility in this and that people in the upper levels can also do a better job?
Oh, yeah. Me in particular, I think folks in leadership have got to speak out. Take a look at the letter that our state police I think it was the commissioner, wrote to all the other state police across the state and the municipal police. And, we can pass a lot of legislation in the legislature, God bless them, but it doesn't work unless you change people's heart. And I think it was the commissioner who wrote to everybody and said, if you're not shocked and outraged by what you saw in Minneapolis and George Floyd, then you shouldn't be wearing the badge. Turn it in.
So would you agree, Governor, that action needs to come fast? And folks are tired of hearing the rest of us talk about it.
I do. I want to make sure it's action that makes a difference and makes sense, not for the sake of action, which, often we do. Hey, let's do another task force. I think, like I said, I believe that community policing and body cams are a big piece of the future.
part of it is some, we have to recognize, right, that there are some people who do bad things, and those people should probably not be out on the street, right? So part of it is criminal justice, getting them through the system, not putting them back on the street. Would you agree with that?
No, absolutely. I go further. I mean, there are some people that are taking advantage of this situation. We had reports of, you know, gangs from out of state thinking about coming up and using George Floyd as an excuse to perhaps loot a factory, an outlet mall or something like that.
Yeah, that was on Facebook. Yeah.
So those people are criminals.
Who's guiding you through this? The policing.
I spent a lot of time with James Ravella, our commissioner of public safety. I talked to Gary Winfield and Steve Stastrom in the legislature, judicial. They put in place the bill last year that was pretty far-sighted in terms of being very clear about escalation of force and no chokeholds and strict. We are, thanks to them, ahead of the curve on this.
Yeah, so we'll talk about chokeholds. You've said this week that you don't support defunding the police. Is that a position you're going to hold firm on, or is that a flexible position?
No, I hold firm on that. That's not right. What I would argue is we ask our police to do everything. They're in there administering to domestic violence situations, and yep, you need police there because it could be a domestic violence situation. But maybe also you need somebody, a social worker, that focuses and specializes there to help de-escalate a situation. So sometimes, as opposed to defunding police, that's not the way I think about it at all. But it's also helping the police with getting the right people alongside them.
You had a meeting with the Police Accountability Task Force this week. Anything come out of that? And besides the no chokehold, body cams, and how long have they been meeting? And I saw also that you asked them to hurry up with a decision. When do you expect that? So a lot of parts to that question.
Yeah, I mean, this was a year ago, and they've met several times. And I appreciate there's been a COVID pandemic in the middle, but why did it take so much time to even get that first Zoom meeting in there? And I know that the legislature wants to work, and it'll be a much better bill if it's informed by this police accountability board that includes, I think, certainly the commissioner and includes the state's attorney. It includes a number of police chiefs as well as the community. So I'd like them to step up and act now.
Yeah, and this is kind of going back to what I was saying. You know, the cops that are on the streets always take the blame. And then you have this police accountability task force that really hasn't been getting together. So the accountability for something like this is shared, right?
Absolutely. We put this, the legislature really put this commission together. It was put together for good purpose, and they got to get to work.
We've had a number of police on, Governor, who have said union protection of bad cops is tough because those cops stay on the streets, and it's bad for the good cops. They all suffer. Any thoughts on that?
I think you said it well. I'll just repeat your question. It's bad for the good cops, and everybody gets tarnished when you see what that guy in Minneapolis did. There were, you know, many citations against him. He was just hearing today. He was trying to plea bargain a way to stay in the force. We've got to police ourselves, and if police can't police themselves, then civilian review boards and others will step in and have to do so. So, physician, heal thyself.
I think it says something for the Connecticut police departments that we didn't have violence. I think that says that folks in those communities don't feel like the police are as much of an enemy as maybe in the bigger cities. I know that tomorrow night, Connoisseur Media, all six radio stations, Channel 3 WFSB, and a panel of esteemed members of the community, including yourself, will be on Face the State Live at 7. So we're looking forward to that conversation.
Well, thank you for telling me what I'm doing tomorrow.
That's right. Your itinerary.
Write that in your schedule, Governor.
Right. They'll tell you later on today, sir.
I got my pencil.
Right.
I want to
mess out.
Pencil right here.
Yeah, Greg texted me from Channel 3. We confirmed the governor, not for the full hour, part of the hour.
There you go, see?
Part of your hour from tomorrow, 7 to 8, will be on this deal.
You got a
slot.
I'll
be kicking it off. I'm very proud to be part of it. So,
well, thank you. And you're right, though. I mean, I think our state police, our municipal police, overwhelmingly working closely with the protesters, working closely with the community. Connecticut did a lot better than our neighbors.
I'm proud of how this state has been getting through coronavirus and how we got through the protests. I really am. And speaking of coronavirus, how is the comeback from Corona going?
I got to tell you that since we did our reopening on May 20th, which is a big date, the number of people hospitalized, which is a key metric, is down by more than half.
Wow.
So I don't think we reopened too early. I think we reopened carefully. Obviously, next week is another big phase, you know, indoor dining, hotels, some of the other personal service things. So we'll watch that carefully. And then we've got outdoor graduations ramping up in a much bigger way starting July 6th.
That's great. How many phases do you think there'll be? And if all goes well, let's just say the numbers keep going down, when do you think we're out of the phases and out of the masks?
Two different questions. I think, let's say June 17th, which is, you know, sort of our 1 month since the last phase, we'll be giving some green lighting in terms of what we see for the next phase, say the middle of July. I think you'll see more flexibility in terms of outdoor events, higher capacity. That's my instinct on this. Masks, I have a feeling that masks are going to be with us for a while, in particular for folks my age.
So you mentioned June 17th, we'll announce some things for the next phase, which will be like July if all goes well. But then is there another phase after that and another phase after that? Or when do you think the phases are over?
The next thing we'll do soon after that July 17th phase is give clear indications of what the numbers show as regards school. You know, right now it is our strong intent. We're going to have school. We're going to have a normal school day. We're going to have colleges. We're going to have residence halls. But if something happens, if these big demonstrations lead to a flare up sometimes in July, be ready if we have to change course.
Right.
I think that would be the next pivot point.
I was going to ask you about that. What kind of a spike would we need to see, like from, you know, protests and phase two, to make you pull back phase two?
That I feel like our hospitals are reaching capacity again and that we wouldn't be able to adequately care for people.
How many?
Right now we have very good hospital capacities, you know.
Right. We're like at 300 and something people. Like how many people would that take, like in the hospital, for us to pull back phase two?
Look, if we're at less than 50% capacity now in our hospital, so you know that procedure you were thinking about of putting off, AJ, now's the time to do it.
How did you know?
Exactly.
You've done safely.
Yeah. He's seen me as well,
and,
yes.
but what was the rest of your question?
How many, you know, cases do we have that, and do we know that number? So you're saying 50, if we're at 50%, how many cases would have to happen for us to start pulling back phase two?
I think if our hospitalization for COVID-related things went up, I can't quite remember the number off the top of my head, but say from 300 to 800 or something like that. And it wasn't just limited to nursing homes, but it was sort of more a community-wide spread. We'd have to rethink where we are, absolutely.
Governor Lamont's on the show. Will we see any outdoor concerts at the Toyota Oakdale or the Xfinity this summer?
You know, I think so. If we stay on track where we are right now, I think you can see something later in the summer. You know, I don't give out the clear guidance on that because all of a sudden, you know, concerts start getting booked and then if you have to pull back. So give me a little more time just so we get a little more experience under our belt.
Is there a time frame on that? So let me ask you this way. We had protests last week, phase two next week. So let's just say 3 weeks from now, if numbers are still going down or staying the same, would on or about July 17th, now, if all goes well, would you be able to say outdoor concerts, but specific protocols?
I think so. I think so, Jazz. What those protocols are, you know, obviously beaches and graduations are a little easier because beaches, you're, you know, 10, 15 feet apart, you know, your little family cluster next to somebody else. Graduation's easier. Probably an outdoor rock concert, a little tougher to enforce, but I think we ought to be getting there. Obviously, as you heard me say a million times, you know, outdoor is so much safer than indoor. There, I feel a lot more willing to take a little more risk.
Has there been any discussion about indoor? I know that seems like a long way down the road.
Yeah, we've obviously upped the quota, the capacity for indoor worship services, strongly recommending without cap outdoor worship services, a lot safer. Indoor dining, we're going to see how that goes. You know, not in the first phase because you don't wear a mask. You're sort of sitting in a group of, you know, four or six people next door. But the outdoor dining, I think, went pretty well. Maybe your listeners have a different point of view, but
now they all love it.
People took the protocol seriously.
Right.
Weddings. Any thoughts on that? We saw your comment this week that it's a little harder because you got wedding cake. You got maybe some beverages.
Yep.
You got maybe some dancing.
Yeah, we're going to be giving some guidance on that, you know, very soon, within the next week or two. Yeah, I know why, because if you're planning to get married in, you know, August or, frankly, Labor Day weekend, in the case of Emily, my daughter, you got to know now. You can't wait until August to give people guidance.
Yeah, so you have pressure coming.
Our best guidance.
You have pressure coming from inside the family.
It comes up on occasion, yes.
Like when he sees them.
Yeah.
And every father knows, when it comes to your daughter's wedding, the best answer in life is whatever you say, honey.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right.
That's right.
In this case, I can't quite say that.
Will schools be back in the fall, and what will it look like?
Schools will be back in the fall. My thinking on this is, and I was talking to Scott Gottlieb, you know him from Westport, former FDA commissioner under the president, said, look, the size of the class is important. You know, you want to be able to have some distancing there. Really important for the teachers, some of whom, you know, feel like they could be at risk. But just as important or even more important is the cohorting. And by that, I mean, if you've got a class of 24, if they stay more or less with themselves and don't, you know, hang out a lot in hallways and cafeterias, you can limit the risk a great amount. So I think that's where our thinking is headed, and we're going to be pretty clear on that over the next couple of weeks.
Okay, so that would apply to high school, too, just try to keep everybody in the same room all day?
I'm told high school is a little more complicated because you have different classes with different students. So we're thinking about that as a slightly different situation. But also high school, a little easier to, you know, do some distance learning so we can sort of mitigate how many people are in that particular class.
So high school could be from home in the fall and grade school could be from school?
No, high school and grade school overwhelmingly be at school. All I meant to say was, you have a little more flexibility with a high school student in terms of distance learning.
Gotcha. Right, yeah. But parents can plan on kids going back in the fall unless the numbers go south.
That's exactly right.
Gotcha.
Okay. And then the price tag for all this coronavirus, is there any chance you can get someone else to pay for that? Like, I don't know, Rhode Island?
Exactly. Maybe like shake somebody down, you know?
Yeah.
Hey, Cuomo, it's Lamont. Remember, we're good friends. Help me out.
That's right. Send me some money.
Exactly, right?
Yeah.
How's that? Has there been any discussion about that, and how do you think we're going to have to pay for that?
Oh, there's a ton of discussion about it. Here's the thing. The feds are suggesting test this, test that, test everybody in the nursing homes twice a week, and to figure out how you're going to pay for it.
Yeah.
So if I could give them, you know, if they could give me clear, you know, indication that, look, FEMA will pay for 75% of the testing, because I want New York and Massachusetts and Connecticut to all test more or less in the same way, since if somebody decides to shortchange testing, that impacts my state of Connecticut as well. And they haven't made up their mind on that, to put it generously. And that's really important. You know, that, for us, the state of Connecticut, that's the difference between $150 million and $600 million in terms of, you know, that 75% match for the feds.
I'm not even going to bring up tolls now because we're friendly.
You're exactly. My friend. Stop that.
Yeah, I know exactly.
No T-word.
Governor Lamont is on. We have a couple more. Then I know you're busy. You got to go. Any news or announcements coming today?
No. I think you get an EO vacation day.
All right. Gotcha. Then federal judge ruled one of your executive orders regarding firearms permits violated the Second Amendment. Will you appeal that? Or are you going to let that go?
No, I'm not going to appeal that. Look, we were opening things up on, you know, June 17th anyway, including the fingerprinting. And in all offense, but 2 months ago, making somebody face you, put your, you know, finger on was not a public health risk I was willing to take. So we'll be implementing that very soon. I think the 15th was the date he said. Is that right?
I believe so. DMV driver's tests.
Yes. I think we're doing most of that remotely, aren't we now? But we got to get that going again for the actual driving test, don't we?
Yes.
Courts?
Ask Bongi on that. You know her. She's great.
Okay.
Sure, no problem.
Courts, courts, I think we've got them going sort of at half rate right now. But they're doing a lot online. They're doing a lot with Zoom. And I think Judge Carroll is going to be ramping that up soon. Look, we got a backlog, right? We got a big backlog of cases. And we need some judges, and we need to get them back to work sooner rather than later.
I have to think arrests were down during the coronavirus.
I would hope, right?
Deal, right? Yeah. So that might help a little bit. And one more question. This comes in from Brian in Fairfield. Which Van Halen singer did you like the best?
Not my band. Sorry, Brian.
All right. At least you're honest.
See?
Right?
Right.
David Lee Roth, Sammy Hagar.
Leonard Skinner is my band.
Oh, there you go. Leonard Skinner. All right. So Jimmy Koplik will be on tomorrow, and I'll say, Jimmy, if you tell the governor, Leonard Skinner is coming in August or September.
He'll want tickets.
He might ease restrictions.
Right. In front row, too.
All right. Governor Lamont, we appreciate all the time, and thank you for coming on.
Good to be with you. Bye, AJ. Thanks, everybody.
You do.